There were challenging times. I remember there was one time I felt like I wanted to go home, but that feeling wasn't very often. Like, I don't remember feeling, oh my gosh, I want to go home, like, you know, like very often. But there are, of course, times when you're going to be so difficult and you're like, oh my goodness, I want to just leave this place.
Welcome to the Immigrant Experience in America, an immigrant human library, where we amplify and humanize the experiences of immigrants in the United States and around the world. Listen in as we add another story to our Immigrant Human Library.
The scholarship sounds something similar to the Fulbright scholarship that I think that the U.S. government offers, where you are able to get the fellowship, you come into the U.S., you study, and then you're required to go back to, for example, go back to Jamaica, and kind of give back the skills and the investment that they've made into you back to the country, right? That's a form of like helping the country develop and all of that. The scholarship sounds pretty similar, like the Fulbright scholarship. For folks who are listening and wondering what other opportunities, if you're not one of the three people that may get this government scholarship, there are plenty of other opportunities. The U.S. government, other governments offer other scholarships. So do your homework. Get off of social media, or if you use social media, use it wisely and use it to find information to better yourself for tomorrow or for whatever opportunity that you're seeking, right? So I'm always floored when I hear people say, oh, I don't know. But sometimes they really don't have the access. They don't have a phone or access to internet. I get that. But there are opportunities out there, folks. You have to put effort and be intentional in finding the information. Nobody's going to hand it to you, okay? But I'm so impressed by Dervi, and I had to cover her story. And so you're there, you've adjusted. You have a community, and I'm so happy that there was a support system for you and that they did their best to support you.
Yes.
And so your program was what, 2 years? From 2014.
Right, to 2017. So I spent 1 year just learning the language. Right, so 2014 to 2015, I spent my time at the language school, and then 2015 to 2017, I did my master's during that time. So the program, the entire program was in Korean. I was the only English speaker, the only Jamaican in my program, right? So I did environmental engineering, and you know, all my classmates were Korean. So the modules were taught in Korean. The only thing is that the notes, so a lot of the notes would have been in English. So I would just get the notes from before, and you know, I would do my reading. So I did my homework, and I just made sure that I understood like the major words. So I'd have to like translate some of the English words to Korean. So when they're talking about it, I would know exactly what they're referring to. And then over time, it just got easier. You know, I learned the technical words that I need to learn for that program. And I mean, I can't remember school being an issue, honestly speaking, in terms of like studying. It really was not an issue. And the thing is, so it was a master's program which had a heavy research component. So the research actually took a lot more time for me than, you know, actual studying modules and doing tests and so on. So my lab was open like from 10 to 6 every day. So I felt like I had a 9 to 5, you know, because we were always in the lab. Like, that's where we lived, you know, my classmates and I. We basically lived in the lab, and we would just go to our classes when we had classes, and we went back to our lab. So we had projects that we were working on. So each person would have a separate project that they're working on. And, you know, we would do our research and then collate our data and write our research papers. So it was pretty good. My professor focused a lot on research. Like, he encouraged us, like, he prioritized research above going to class. It was that bad, you know, so. And I'm so happy now. I'm actually reaping the rewards, because out of that master's program, I was able to write 3 research papers in international that were published in international journals, which did, you know, it did a lot for my career. So I am really, really happy for the experience that I had studying in South Korea, and the fact that they focus, they invest a lot into research and development. Actually, they are one of the countries that invest the highest percentage of their GDP into research and development. So I didn't have a problem when it came on to accessing resources, whether it was raw materials, equipment, you know, everything was really provided. And in addition to that, there were a lot of opportunities for collaboration with other schools. So even though I went to Aju University, we had research with, you know, for example, EY University or other universities. So, you know, it's sort of just expanded the reach of the research center, you know. And of course we learned a lot from other schools as well. And sometimes, you know, they might have a little bit more advanced equipment, so, you know, gaining exposure to all of that and the exchange, it was really massive.
Good. So you were gone for the entire 3 years. Did you get to
come? I was, you know, I actually didn't come home throughout the 3 years, and the time felt like it went by so fast. So the longest break that we would have gotten, because right after my language program finished, like within a couple weeks, I had to start my master's program. And then for a master's, even throughout the summer, we had so research going on. So, you know, we didn't really get a lot of time to break, honestly. So, you know, and it would have been costly as well to go back and forth between Jamaica and Korea. It's a little bit expensive as well. So I communicated with my family, you know, of course, through face, you know, video calling and so on. And, you know, that was, it was difficult, but we're able to, I mean, I was immersed in the Korean culture, so it wasn't really a problem, and it felt like the time just went by so quickly, actually. So
that's good. Good to know. Yeah. Good to know, because I know there's a phase, they have this thing out there called the W curve, which really explains the experience you go to when you're living into a new culture. It's like you're excited, and then there's a steep drop where you're like, I want to go home. And then you get a little bit of a high, maybe I can figure this place out, and then it goes down again. You're like, you want to go home, I can't take it, it's too challenging. And then you kind of decide that you're going to work with it. So the fact that it actually went by fast for you and it was seamless, that's good. It means that you had support, you felt at home, you were able to adjust a little bit easier than the typical person. That's a good thing.
Yeah, there were challenging times. I remember there was one time I felt like I wanted to go home, but that feeling wasn't very often. Like, I don't remember feeling, oh my gosh, I want to go home, like, you know, like very often. But there are of course times when you're gonna be so difficult and you're like, oh my goodness, I want to just leave this place. But apart from that, there were so many programs that the scholarship offered. So there was a mentorship program, there was youth leadership program. So, you know, after participating in these things, it's that there was no time to actually think about going home. You know, it was just about making use of every single opportunity that I could at the time.
So I'm going to switch from the scholarship conversation to the actual human experience. It sounded like it wasn't too bad. You weren't missing home too much. You were able to communicate with family. You adjusted to the language and the food, and you had support. What was it like for you being, quote unquote, a black girl, a brown skin girl in this country with people that look nothing like you?
Yeah.
You were the only one English speaking person in your class. Like, what was that experience like for you?
I mean, a lot of times I didn't really remember that I was the odd one out. I mean, obviously in the beginning, because the type of approach actually that is taken at school, so because school was the place I spent most of my time, so to me, I felt like they were very considerate of the fact that I'm a foreigner. So I realized that they always made sure that there was at least one person that went out to lunch with me. So, you know, even if, because we had lunch together sometime, like as a team, as a class, lab mates would go out, whether on campus or outside of the campus, we'd eat together a lot. But then, you know, there were times when we had our individual, or we wanted to go our individual ways and so on. But they always tried to make sure that I had someone together with me, you know. And I didn't really, like, take notice until something happened. Like, there was an incident where I didn't feel like having lunch that day, you know, and they felt like I was being inconsiderate because, you know, I didn't realize that I was actually being there for, they were being there for me, you know, sort of thing. So they kind of went out of their way to make sure that I didn't feel alone. I felt settled. But generally, because I'm from the Western culture, there are just like different ways of thinking, right? So to me, based on what I experienced, they are more communal. They think, you know, as a group, as a unit, and they kind of operate that way. For me, you know, sometimes Western people are a bit individualistic and so on. And I know I can be very individualistic in the sense that, for example, if I may not feel like I want to necessarily have lunch today or at this time, I might not, instead of giving up what I feel or I'm comfortable with for the other person, you know. So they're kind of big on, you know, sort of being concerned or being thoughtful of the other person, you know. So I was able to actually taste and learn from that, because I think it's a pretty cool quality, because when you're living with other persons or you have to interact that closely with other persons, that's something that you really have to consider. So in that sense, I could see a lot of differences in just the general way of thinking. Yes, in terms of being a black person, yes, there were times when people would stare at me because, you know, I look different. Persons tried to touch my hair, wanted to take a picture, like, oh my god, I've never seen someone like this before, so please let me take a picture. You know, there were those experiences, but they weren't so much for me. And I've heard stories as well. I've heard stories about other black people, but because where I studied, it was more in the city, or because, you know, you have the more suburb areas and more, what do you say, like developed areas, or, you know, those are closer to city. So you would have a lot of foreigners, even persons looking like me. So those persons would have more exposure. But I've heard of stories of persons who are like in the suburbs where they don't normally see black people at all. And like the reaction is out of this world. But for me, it wasn't so drastic, you know. He actually had quite a few black persons in the school. So not in my department, but in the school in general. But overall, I found Koreans to be very, very thoughtful. And one of the examples is when I'm trying to find directions. So if I am going somewhere and I'm by myself, sometimes I just be looking for somewhere, and if you ask anyone on the street, they're gonna like go in their phone and they're gonna go to Google and tell you exactly what the direction is, and like they spend time telling you. Some of them will even take you to your destination. Like, I've experienced that. And I was like, wow. You know, I thought that was just so kind, you know, because they understand that, wow, you're not from this place. They don't want you to get lost and so on. And I really appreciated it because, you know, so that level of thoughtfulness is what really stood out to me by being in Korea, and something that I really, a quality that I really admired and want to adapt to myself.
Right. Yeah. Right. Wow. That's interesting that you say you considered yourself somebody from the West who's more individualistic. I transitioned from Jamaica to the U.S. and it was a shock to me how individualistic people were here. So the extreme that is here is completely, I would consider Jamaican. I felt like I grew up in a more communal setting because I had big families on both sides of my family, so perhaps it's different. It was a different experience for you, but that's interesting. It's, I guess, it's a different scale.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
individualism.
Definitely. Yeah, they're way more. I mean, I know Jamaicans can be communal, but they are, I think they're a bit, you know, on the more extreme side of that spectrum when it comes down to that. Or maybe, as I said, you know, even though we are of the same country, but, you know, our individual experiences can be different. So for me, it was, I felt like it was, you know, a big difference. Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, thank you for sharing that, being so vulnerable and giving them big props. I'm very happy to hear how they treated you and that they really took very good care of you. So I'm switching now from all the studying, and congratulations, you learned the language a whole year and then got your master's degree and published 3 scholarly articles in international journals. That's amazing. So I want to switch to the, you know, like transitioning back to Jamaica and then the opportunity of Tropics and how that came about.
Right. So after the scholarship period ended, I chose to return to Jamaica. And the Korean influence was really, really great. And, you know, I was actually sort of in limbo. I was in 2 different minds actually when I was leaving, and just as it was bittersweet going, it was bittersweet returning because I adjusted so much. They started to treat me like family. They started to refer me like you're part of our family now, kind of thing. But then, you know, I had certain responsibilities that I had to take care of in Jamaica, and I also really missed my family. I missed being here too, so it was sort of really, you know, bittersweet. But I always had the intention of, you know, traveling back to South Korea, so let's see. That will happen soon, you know. So anyways, I came back and started looking for a job, of course, and that happened shortly after that, you know, I found a job and so on. You know, I worked in a few industries, but I always wanted to start a business, and especially with the training in terms of process development and product development, you know, I thought it really would be good to capitalize on that. And so, you know, that push, so I had the intention to, but then, you know, there was a push to say, okay, it has to be done now. So at that time, I had a few business ideas, and through business consultation, because I knew that depending on, you know, what the market is like, what the market is demanding, that would determine if this business would be successful or not. So I had an idea, I had ideas as it relates to skincare. So for me, you know, there are certain things that I really value. So health is one of them, like really great skincare routines and so on. I've always been into that, like, you know, using a more natural and holistic approach. So when I did some consultations about which business idea would be more profitable, you know, the business idea of the dried fruit that came out winning, because as I said, I encountered dried fruit when I was in South Korea, and I was like, oh my goodness, we can do this in Jamaica. You know, we have some of the most delicious fruits. We have a lot of them that go to waste every year. You know, this is a win-win on so many fronts, because it can be a really great business, and it's also good for the environment, you know, because it will encourage the growth of trees, which can combat climate change, you know. And then, of course, you can use the waste that is generated to make biofuels, you know. So it was just like, wow, this is just a winning idea. And so, of course, I did the consultations, and, you know, it hit based on the results of that. It was really a go. You know, it was really a green light to actually starting this business. And so I looked at what was required, and I did further consultations with the Bureau of, well, the Scientific Research Council first. Looked into funding opportunities, looked into the equipment that would be required, and all the background that is really related to it. And, you know, that's really how it started. And of course, the feedback from friends, you know, persons who are around me, you know, what do you think about this? They tried some of the the test products and so on, and, you know, I got their feedback. And that is how this business really started.
Okay, so tell us, what's the current state of operations, and, you know, like, what sort of support do you need from people who might listen to this interview, watch this interview, from the Jamaican diaspora, or even others who might be interested in where to find the products? Is it available overseas? Can it be purchased online? And all of the good stuff.
Okay. Thank you. So, you know, the business has really developed since the start. So I spent the first 2 years just developing the prototype, improving it, and, you know, developing the packaging and so on. So now, especially this year, you know, I'm thinking of scaling the business. So, you know, a lot of it was just really a lot of background work into getting this product really market ready, you know. So the products are available to locals. They can find it in supermarkets. So right now it's available in General Food supermarkets, New Kingston Pharmacy. It is also in Things Jamaican. So you can get it at Devon House or the airport. You can also buy them online. So if you're overseas, you can access the products through online stores. So Carib Shopper is one of the stores. Of course, Things Jamaican has their online store as well that you can access the products through. There's also Jamaica Care Packages, right? There's Jamaica Care Packages that also has an online store. And there is also Grocery List Jamaica. So you can access the products through those online platforms. But now, actually, you know, there are a lot of international interests. So persons who are in the United States, Canada, UK, and Trinidad and Tobago, you know, you will be able to access the product soon, because, you know, I am making agreements. So we're in the process of creating agreements with distributors in those countries. So, you know, follow my Instagram page. So that's Tropics, TROPICKS 365. So you can follow our page, and as soon as, you know, those agreements are made and the distribution locations expand, you will definitely be made aware, and you can visit those stores and get your shopping on, get your products. And definitely, so the Jamaican diaspora, I would say, to really support Tropics 365 by, of course, buying our products. That would definitely drive our sales, and that would in turn drive productivity. So that's one way that you can definitely assist. And, you know, I don't know if there's anyone out there who would like to invest or to provide some sort of funding. You can definitely reach out to me. So tropics365@gmail.com. You can just shoot me an email with your proposal, and we can definitely have a talk about how we can create, you know, some sort of agreement. But this, you know, I'm very hopeful. I'm really, really hopeful about this business because of the fact that, you know, it allows Jamaican in the diaspora to really connect back with home. You know, you mentioned the Jamaica with Irie interview, and there are so many persons that emailed me about, you know, their perception or what they felt from seeing this product, you know, and what it reminded them of, you know, and I can feel that it's really hitting a point, you know, it's really hitting home with so many persons out there. You get to enjoy the authentic Jamaican fruits, you know, and their flavors. Of course, it's a little bit different, you know, in terms of the texture and so on, but that flavor is still there. And, you know, you get to enjoy it in a convenient way. So, you know, I would definitely say try it and, you know, continue to support the business. Tell your friends, you know, your family members about the products and definitely have them try it. So you can also order. So you can order through the email address as well. So if you want to, instead of ordering like one or two, order up in bulk. So make it because it will definitely be cheaper or more economical to order in bulk. So you can definitely do that as well and share with friends and family. It also makes really great gifts, you know. So, and the products are so versatile as well. So you can have them as a snack. You can eat them with your frozen treats. You can use it in baking. There's also a pine skin and ginger tea that I have. That it's so good in bringing out that pine flavor, you know, because, you know, we use pine skin and ginger to make pine drink. So it's in a really convenient form. You can have it as a tea, iced tea. You can use it in the as a base for your sweet and sour sauce. You can use it in your baked goods or when you're making, you know, other sauces. So definitely try them. And if you have any feedback, definitely share them. Good or bad, it will really help. Everything helps in developing and improving the quality of the products as well as the services that we provide. So yeah, that's definitely what I want to say to everyone out there.
So tell us, Jervian, what sort of flavors do you have in the dried fruit? So you mentioned the tea, right? And what other flavors do you offer?
So the in terms of the dried fruits, okay, so the products overall, there are ones that you can have right away. So you can have them as a snack. So those are the fruits. So mango, pineapple, jackfruit, and plantain. You can just open the pack and consume them right away. But then there are others that you have to extract the flavor. So the pine skin and ginger is one. You have sorrel. So I have sorrel as well and sorrel and ginger. So those ones you'd have to boil, get the flavor, and then you can use it as a drink or a tea.
Very good. Yeah. And you have a website that they can probably go to see all of the offerings.
Right, what's a bit offerings, there. Yes. So, right. So that would be www.tropics365.com.
Right. And we'll definitely get the details and post them in the show notes for people.
Yes.
With the links, yes. And everything for them. Thanks. To find you.
Right.
So any parting words? We can wrap up. We've been chatting for a little bit now, but it's, yes, been such a pleasure hearing this, your journey, your story, yes, and learning about this new scholarship.
Yes. Well, you know, it was really a journey for me, as you said. And it's just interesting that life can actually take us on different paths. You know, I remember hearing that word today. I was in a presentation and the speaker said that, and it resonated with me that, you know, we can't really, we don't necessarily need to put like a certain limit on life. I remember I used to have a sort of fixed mindset, like, you know, this is what I have to do coming out of school, this is what I have to be, and so on. But, you know, as I go out into the world, as I leave my comfort zone and I explore what the wider world has to offer, I can appreciate the level of dynamism, like, you know, and the different areas that life can take you in. And I would say definitely just be open to the opportunities that are out there and, you know, capitalize on them as well, because it will definitely influence the product of what you're doing. So even this business, you know, by being in that culture and just seeing how they do things, the level of quality also that they do things at, definitely had a very, very big impact on what I'm doing now. So, you know, I would really want to just encourage anyone that is out there who really wants to start a business also to actually to go for it and to know that it will not be easy, of course. You know, this actually takes a lot of time, it takes a lot of energy, but once you are consistent and, you know, once you have the right ingredients, so that includes, of course, the will, first of all, the mindset to do it, the financial resources, and also the consultations and the advice, right? So you need persons who can actually guide you. So you don't have to know everything about business, but if you have persons that are there to support you, then, you know, that is able to fill that gap. So yeah, I would definitely say in whatever you're doing to just put your best foot forward, and, you know, also definitely because I think God has really helped me so much. I mean, I can't end without really giving thanks to God for providing opportunities, for opening up opportunities, I know, where this business is concerned, or just life in general is concerned. So I definitely want to end on a hopeful note, you know, definitely just continue to step forward in faith and God will work out the rest for you.
Awesome. So you mentioned, are you still taking classes? Are you just focused fully on the business? What's going on for Jervian outside of business right now?
Outside of business. So I also lecture, actually. So yeah, I lecture at the University of Technology. And that's also one of the things that I'm really grateful for, because it allows me to be able to impart to students what I had learned, and, you know, especially my exposure and being in Korean and that level of education, that level of collaboration. I really try to bring that to the classroom as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for embracing the challenge of leaving your home and going abroad, adapting to a new culture, learning a new language, and then returning and giving back so profoundly to Jamaica. I mean, starting a business, lecturing, encouraging others to study, opening the door for more scholarships. So you've done so much. Kudos to you, and I just very best wishes. And of course, we'll be in touch if I could be of any help for you in the future. But congratulations again, and thank you so much for sharing your international student journey with the immigrant experience here.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Wow, you're doing a lot. You're lecturing, running this business, and readjusting to life in Jamaica. Do you have any message that you'd like to send to your friends? If you share with your friends in Korea who might listen to the interview, I'm sure they'll be pleased for how you represented the country and sharing your, how well they took care of you. You know, that's impressive, because not a lot of international students will have your story.
Yeah.
Well, do you have anything you'd like to say, whether it's in English or in Korean, however you'd like to say?
I definitely would want to say thanks. You know, 진짜 감사하다고 말하고 싶습니다. 여러분들한테 진짜 보고 싶고, 그리고 이번에 꼭 봤으면 좋겠습니다. So I really miss them. I really want to see them. And I think this year, this year I actually plan to visit Korea. 진짜 올해 여름에 제가 한국에 갈 계획이 있어요. 그래서 그때 꼭 봤으면 좋겠습니다. So, you know, I really hope to see them there and reconnect, actually. Yeah, reconnect.
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much again. What a pleasure to hear your journey.
Yeah.
And best wishes, and we'll be in touch, okay?
Yes. Thank you. Take care.
We thank our listeners around the world, and we appreciate your continued support as we build our human library. Please remember to give us a 5-star review, subscribe, and share with your friends, family, and circle of influence.